There is a show right now on Apple TV. It's called Severance. And the premise is simple, even if it's a little bit disturbing. A company offers this procedure called Severance. It surgically splits your consciousness into two selves, one that lives at work and the other that lives outside of work. Now, neither of these lives knows what the other one does, right? The work you exists only in the office, and the home you has no idea what happens in the office. So there's one body, right? But two lives, depending on where you are, you're completely severed. Now, at first, the characters, I mean, this seems like a dream come true, right? No work stress follows you home, and none of your home problems haunt you when you're at your desk. But then things start to unravel. Because, as it turns out, you cannot split someone's soul without consequences. You can't divide a person without pain. And so eventually, both persons start asking this question. Who am I? Really? What have I become? Today on Good Friday, I want to talk about severance. I don't want to talk about the TV show Severance. I want to talk about real life severance. Our own tendency to live double lives, to sever the person we are in one situation from a person we are in another situation. And if we're honest, come on, we know we do this all the time and there's no surgical procedure required, right? The person I am at home is not the person I am at work. The person I am with friends is different than the one at church. The person I am on Sunday is different than the person I am on Monday, and the way I am in a group of people is way different than how I am when I'm alone. The way I am online is way different than the person I am in person. And I say, for example, I believe in forgiveness, but in reality, I'm ruthless. Right? I follow Jesus, I say, but in reality, I just follow the crowd. Right? I say, I trust God, but I still try to control absolutely everything. There is the me over here who prays, and then there's the me that pretends. There is the me that says, I'll make a promise, I'll keep my promise. And then there's the me who breaks those promises. So yes, if we're honest, we are all severed. We seamlessly move from one version of ourself to another, and it just depends on the situation. We're not proud of it, but why do we do it? And at what cost? Today we're going to look briefly at a man who tried to live two lives. His name was Peter. And just like anyone who tries to live a severed existence, it tore his life apart. You see, there was one version of Peter who made a powerful promise to Jesus on the night he was arrested. Peter said, "Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." That was one version of Peter. But then just hours later, another Peter showed up. After Jesus was arrested, this Peter stood by a fire and told a bunch of onlookers that he had no idea who Jesus was. "I do not know the man," three times. This is the same person, only severed, right? There's faithful Peter who wants one thing and fearful Peter who wants another thing. Faithful Peter wants to be brave. Fearful Peter wants to be safe. Faithful Peter wants to live for Christ, but fearful Peter wants to live in comfort. Fractured Peter is the result. It is really hard to live a severed life. Right? In the TV show One character actually describes her severed existence as torture, and Peter would agree. When the rooster crowed and Peter realized this severed existence that he was living, we are told he went out and wept bitterly. Not just wept, he wept bitterly. He was absolutely broken in the most profound way possible. Why? Why does severance hurt so much? Why does living a double life tear us apart? Well, first of all, it destroys our identity. You know, in the TV show, again, I don't know if you've seen it, but the characters with severed minds, they're having these profound identity crises. In fact, there's one scene in which a character sends a message to herself saying, I am not a person, you are not a person. No, rather, I am a person, you are not a person. This is terrifying for her, right? Her existence is denied by the one person who knew her the best, herself. Peter was in the same boat. He thought he was one person. Person who made a promise, but when the pressure came, when the crowds arrived, when the questions started, he was shocked to see this other Peter emerge, a frightened one, a self-protective one, and that's why he cracked. He fractured, and he wept bitterly. He didn't know who he was anymore. Severance destroys your identity. Faithful Peter, fearful Peter, courageous Peter, cowardly Peter, which Peter is the real Peter? I don't know if you guys know the word integrity. It comes from the same English word, integer. An integer is a whole number, not a fraction of a number, not a piece of a number, not a part of a number, not a division of a number, a whole number. A person of integrity is a whole person, the same person, no matter what. But Peter, he's lost his integrity. He's severed. He's lost his identity. And of course, that hurts. You see, culture tells you, if you want to know who you really are, if you want to know your real identity, then what you got to do is you got to follow your feelings. Follow your heart. But you know that doesn't work, right? Which heart do you follow? Which feelings are you going to follow? The feelings that say tell the truth, or the feelings that say lie to save yourself? The feelings that crave commitment, or the feelings that crave freedom, right? The feeling that says, I want to follow Jesus, or the feeling that says, just blend in like everyone else. You can't find your identity in your feelings, right? Because your feelings are always changing. They are always shifting, and you're always going to feel severed. In A Man for All Seasons, Sir Thomas More says this. He says, when a man makes an oath, he holds his own self in his hands like water. And if he opens his fingers, he needn't hope to find himself again. Do you want to know why Peter was devastated and bitterly crying? It's because he opened his fingers and he lost himself. Right? Living a severed life, it destroys your identity. But it's not just that. Living a severed life breaks something else too, and that's community, right? When you don't know who you really are, then guess what? Other people don't know who you really are either. People are going to avoid you, and you're going to avoid others. You won't be able to get close to them. It's interesting, on the TV show, again, two characters, they develop this deep relationship at work. However, when they find each other in the outside world, they discover one of them is married to someone else. Leading a double life disrupts their relationship and prevents human connection. When Peter realized how severed he was, he too could not be with people. Did you notice where he goes after the rooster crows? He goes out. He went out and wept bitterly. Out, away from the courtyard, away from the fire, away from the people. And this is not an accident that the Bible says this. This is not just geography. This is theology. When you sever your soul, you sever your connection to others. I mean, think about it. If you've ever had a moment where you've compromised your convictions and you felt really bad about it, do you want to go and talk it through with a group? No. You isolate yourself. You hide. You go outside because there's no community without commitment, no integrity without honesty. Peter made a promise, but not just to Jesus. He made the promise in front of his other friends, his disciples. And now he's broken that promise. The relationship is broken. The trust is broken. So he steps outside, right? Leading a severed life always leads you to break away from community and leads to isolation. When we keep our promises, it creates community. When we're the same person again and again and again and again, then people get to know us and people get to love us and people say, yes, I like being around you. But whether it's a marriage or a friendship or church, we make promises and keep them. They say, this is who I am and you can count on me and I'll be here for you. But when we start splitting our lives, community begins to break down. Well, who's going to show up today? Which version of Rob are we going to get? So we stop being known. And we stop being trusted and we stop being present. And here's, I mean, it's a painful irony. We long to be connected, but we're scared to show ourselves. We crave intimacy, but we only let people see these carefully edited versions of ourselves. We want to be loved, but we refuse to be honest with who we really are. So we end up like Peter, not just severed, but separated from others. But there's one final rupture that we haven't named yet. Living a severed life doesn't just destroy your identity. It doesn't just break community. It also disrupts your spirituality. Again, in the TV show, Severance, we learn that the entire concept of severing a personality was created by a cult, by this false religion. And it's so true that when we live lives that are severed, it always leads us away from the true God. Because the true God doesn't just want part of you. He wants all of you, the integrated, honest, whole you. And this is nothing new. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they didn't undergo a surgical severance, but they did split themselves from God. One version of them wanted to obey God. The other version wanted to be God. And when they tried to live both these lives, they were broken, they were fragmented, and they hid from God. God's question was, hey, where are you guys? Could just as easily have been, who are you guys? That question still echoes today. Living a double life creates distance between us and God. And it's not because God stops loving us. It's just because we stop showing up as our true selves. We stop praying with honesty. We stop worshiping with integrity. We start saying things that we no longer believe, and we start living in ways we no longer admit. No, we may still pray. We may still sing. We may still go to church. But deep down, something's been severed. We've kept part of our heart back. We've compartmentalized our faith. We want God on Sunday, but we want control on Monday. Isaiah says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden you from God. So, friends, do you see why Peter was weeping so bitterly? When he realized how severed his life was, he was destroyed in his identity, broken in his community, and shattered in his spirituality. And I just want to say that maybe some of you here today, that is exactly where you are. You're physically here. You are. You're singing the songs. You're bowing your head when the prayers come. But part of you isn't here. Part of you is still out there, hiding, hurting. Maybe even wondering if anyone actually knows the real you. Or if they'd love you if they did know the real you. So you feel like you have to live this way. Severed, split, divided, lonely. That's how Peter felt. Now, it's interesting. On the TV show, again, how many people have seen the TV show? Oh, I was hoping for more. On the TV show, there is a procedure It's a very dangerous, even a deadly procedure by which someone might become unsevered, be reintegrated back into a whole person. But is there such hope for us? Is there any way we can actually live a whole life? Well, that brings us to the good news of Good Friday. On Good Friday, we remember the deadly and dangerous operation that Jesus went through to heal us. And it all happened on the cross. On the cross, Jesus was severed so we could be whole. Yeah, sure, Peter went outside and wept, but Jesus went outside the city and he died. Peter was fractured. Yes, Jesus was forsaken. On the cross, Jesus experienced the ultimate severance, not just physical pain, not just humiliation, but cosmic disconnection. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Cosmically disconnected, right? Jesus and the Father were one. They were one person, but they were severed from each other. And why? Why was he severed from his identity? Why was he severed from this community? Why was he severed spiritually? It's because someone had to stand in for every fractured soul and every split life and every broken promise, every Peter, every you, and every me. Because you see, though our feelings might change, Jesus's never do. And while we may break our promises, Jesus never does. And we are saved, not because of our integrity, but because of Jesus's. And we're saved not because we keep promises, but because Jesus kept his promise to us. That's what Good Friday is about. He bore the shame of our double lives so that we could be given a whole life. He was severed from God so we could be reconciled to God. The Bible puts it this way: God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel, everybody. That's the dangerous and deadly surgery that can heal our severed lives. Now, maybe you, like the characters in the TV show that none of you saw, thought that living a double life was going to make things easier. But it's actually taken a toll on you. It's taken a toll on your mind. It's taken a toll on your relationships and on your spirituality. And that's why today I want to say to you, no matter how fractured you feel, you can be put back together again. Jesus was severed so you could be whole. So are you ready to be put back together? Are you ready to stop the double life, to be fully healed? Peter, interesting, he shows us the way toward healing. Because a few days later, after he ran away from Jesus and ran away from the courtyard to weep bitterly, he finds himself by another crackling fire. Not the fire where he denied knowing Jesus, but it's a fire of reunion. It's a fire, and Jesus is there. And there, Jesus asks him a question. He says, Peter, do you love me? Three times he asks it. One for every time Peter said, I don't know him. And three times Peter replies, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Guys, Peter had lost his identity and Jesus gives it back to him. Right? Peter had lost his community and Jesus brings him back. Peter had denied knowing Jesus, but Jesus says, don't worry, I still know you. And this is the healing moment where Peter's severed mind becomes a sound mind, becomes a settled mind, becomes a secured mind. You can be healed too. You can undergo this procedure too. If you've been living a double life, listen, what part of your soul have you split off? What part have you, you know, kept hidden in the dark? What fire are you standing next to pretending not to know him? Whatever's broken in your identity, whatever's fractured in your community, and whatever is severed in your spirituality, when we come to Jesus as we truly are, honest about who we become, the same Jesus who stitched Peter back together will heal you too. Good Friday is the moment of truth. So let the rooster crow, let the masks drop, and let the healing begin.